Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a second epistle, which warned about false teachers who take advantage of Christian hospitality to spread false doctrine. As you continue to walk in love, be careful to distinguish between truth and error. False teachers have no fellowship with God. Therefore, God's people are to have no fellowship with false teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, young man, where did you say that you're walking to?
Skiles.
Is that that direction?
Yeah.
Cool. Can I walk and talk with you on the radio while you're going to, what are you going to?
Calculus.
Where are you from, dude?
Chicago.
Chicago. That's amazing. And why are you here?
I don't know.
You don't know. I wasn't talking philosophy. Why are you on this campus? Well, more interesting, why are you here? Philosophically, as long as you brought it up, why are you here? What's the point? What do you do? What's life about?
I don't know. No one can know that answer.
I can.
What?
I do.
What's the answer then?
The correct answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
Oh, well.
That's it. That's why you're here, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Do you believe in God?
Not really.
Okay, well, that's a problem. Why not?
Because I just can't believe that.
All right. By the time we catch up to that guy in front of us with the backpack, I can prove to you that God exists, even though I think you already know it. Okay?
All right.
We're walking by a fence, right?
Yeah.
Who made it?
We did.
Yeah, somebody made it, designed it, right? Yeah. Okay, now look around at the trees. They're beautiful, at the skies, at the heavens, at the clouds, at the stars. Look at your hand. Who made all that? Nothing? Nah, somebody made it. Somebody made you. Look at it. Hey, dude, look at this. Cat's on the hunt. Cool. Somebody made that cat who's on the hunt for a mouse right there. It's God. There you go. That's how you know God exists, because you look around and the heavens declare that God exists. There you have it. Convinced?
Not quite.
Yeah. Let me try another angle. I want to probe into your conscience for a minute, because I think God made you, and I think He gave you a conscience to know that you've sinned against Him. Okay? Do you think you've sinned against God?
No.
No. How many lies have you told in your life?
A lot.
Okay, that would be a lot of sins, all right? How many times have you looked with lust in your life?
Sometimes. Yes.
So that would be a sometimes luster, right?
Yes.
All right, how many times have you taken God's name in vain, blasphemed God's name?
Sometimes.
All right, so you're a blasphemer, right? Have you ever stolen anything?
Maybe,
doesn't have to be from a... All right, so if you've stolen a couple of things, what does that make you?
Thief, I guess.
All right, so you just told me you're a thief, you're a liar, you're a blasphemer, and an adulterer, and your conscience should be going, He's right, and that God who made everything is going to judge me, and I'm in big trouble. And it's your conscience that should be screaming to you, I better figure out who it is. So I think your conscience and creation supports the knowledge that you have already inside of you that says there is a God. There you go. Convinced yet?
Convinced that I should be a better person, but I'm not convinced that...
Because I think that's your conscience.
Yeah.
That thing God put inside of you to tell you that you've done right or wrong. Now, here's the problem, though, my young friend. You've demonstrated that you're not a good person. You're like the rest of us.
Right.
You fall short. Now, the God who made everything, and it's a big everything out there, you die, hard to imagine, but if you died... He judges you. Would He find you innocent or guilty?
Guilty?
If you're guilty before a holy God who can't have sin in His presence, who hates lusting, who hates pornography or fornication or dishonoring parents or using His name in a low way, what would He do with you? Send you to heaven or would He send you to hell?
Probably hell.
Probably definitely, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many people... It's sin. How can you send all of them to hell?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate observation. Everybody breaks those laws, and that's exactly what the Bible says. So I would summarize it and say, everybody should go to hell. That's what we all deserve. But that doesn't mean everybody does. Are you familiar with Christianity at all?
Yeah, well, I went to church a while ago.
And what did they tell you God did so that you and I don't have to go to hell?
Forgives.
Well, that's in there, but what did He do? Because a judge can't just say, I forgive everybody, I'm going to let all the criminals go. He'd be unjust. But But a just judge recognizes that he must punish unless somebody pays the fine for the criminal. Who paid the fine for you, the criminal?
Jesus?
That's right. That's what the Bible teaches. God himself took on human form, lived a perfect life that you and I couldn't live, took the punishment that you deserve so that your court case could be dismissed, so that you could be forgiven for breaking God's laws, and he could take you to heaven so that for all of eternity, every created being is going to go, wow, what a God. He saved that wretched sinner from Chicago. And in doing that, God will be glorified. Remember, your chief aim is to glorify God. So the best way that you can glorify God is by getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven so that he can look like a great God. That's why you're here. Eh?
Okay.
Do you know what the Bible says you must do now that you've heard this good news?
Repent?
Yes, sir. Well done. Do you know what that means?
Confess your sins to God, I guess.
Is that that's part of it, but it's also saying you're sorry, coming clean, and turning from them. And putting your trust in Jesus, you repent and trust the Savior. Then God adopts you. He makes you his child. You go to heaven because of what Jesus did. Repentance and faith. And then you'll glorify God for forever.
Okay.
All right. Now you learned what you're supposed to be doing. All right?
All right.
Goodbye. Study hard. Okay. Sir, may I sit down with you and chat with you for a moment? Specifically on the radio?
Sure.
What are you reading?
After the Fact, Art of Historical Detection.
The Art of Historical Detection.
Yeah.
All right. Is that kind of the point, is to try to go back and unearth history so we can figure out what happened back then?
And why it happened, yeah.
What about, does this have anything to do, I don't suppose it does, with origins? Like, how did we get, where did we come from?
Not really.
No?
No.
You got a cross on your neck. Are you a Christian?
I'm Catholic, yeah.
You're Catholic. Is that different than being a Christian?
No, same.
Same thing? Okay. What does a Catholic believe? Where do you think we came from?
What do you mean, where we came from?
Were we Big Bang? Did God make the place?
No, like, God made everyone.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I believe, anyway.
All right. Now, you're here studying what?
Biomedical engineering.
Okay, so you're a science guy, right? So you don't go for that evolution business?
I mean, I don't think it is because of evolution.
You don't think so?
No.
You're kind of a minority, you know that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a big deal, but...
Is that a big issue on this campus?
It's not really something we talk about.
Do you talk about your faith a lot on this campus?
Like, in groups, yeah, like my friends and stuff.
I'm a complete stranger. What do you think's going to happen to me when I die?
I mean, it just depends on what kind of person you were.
Okay, I'm a pretty bad person.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in hell, to tell you the truth.
I do.
You do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Best concept. Here's why. When you see criminals on the news, it's good that they go to jail,
yeah.
Right? When people break the laws, they should get punished for doing wrong. That's what hell's all about. Lawbreakers getting what they deserve. It's a good thing because I like justice.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I also believe in second chances. Like I believe like everybody makes mistakes.
I agree. How many mistakes have you made?
I don't even know.
How many lies have you told?
Not many.
But you've told some?
Yeah.
Huh? How many times have you lusted? Sitting on this bench today or even today?
None.
Yesterday?
No.
In your life? You don't lust? Do we both understand what the word lust is?
For sure.
So, in looking at a woman walking by, you've never had lustful thoughts. You've never looked at images, whether in People magazine or pornography on the internet. You've never done that.
I mean, not really. Like, maybe it's happened like once or twice, like when you see like a really hot chick. But I mean,
okay, so you've seen a really hot chick. All right, and you've recognized she's hot.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
All righty then.
Yeah.
So you've done that. All right. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
Ever?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have you always loved everybody the way you're supposed to?
Mostly everyone, yeah.
Ever been angry at somebody?
Yeah.
So you haven't loved everybody the way you're supposed to.
Well, I mean, just because you're angry at someone doesn't mean you don't love them.
Well, but what the Bible says, though, is that you're a murderer at heart, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? You're in danger of the judgment because you were unjustly angry at somebody?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was unjustly. Like, I had a reason.
All right. But you're driving down the road. Somebody pulls a bonehead move. And in no uncertain terms, you let them know what you think about their poor driving skills. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You just get angry. You think somebody's an idiot, a fool, a jerk, or you do something worse.
Yeah.
Murder of the heart, right? Okay, and all those times that you've done those things, you were dishonoring your parents, right?
I guess, yeah.
Right, because that's one of the commandments, yeah. Isn't it? All right, so you were talking about getting to heaven by being good. Sounds to me like you haven't been good.
Well, I mean, I've been pretty good.
But not perfect.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be perfect.
Sure you do.
No, you don't. That doesn't even make sense. Nobody's perfect.
I agree with that, but that doesn't mean that you can go to heaven.
Why not? Like, just because, like, people made mistakes in their lives.
It's true, but that would be like a criminal pleading. But Judge, everybody speeds. Judge, everybody rapes women. He's not going to say, well, if everybody does it, then I'm going to let them go. Just because everybody's broken the laws doesn't mean that everybody should go to heaven.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you died, where would you go?
Hopefully heaven.
But it doesn't sound like you've done everything good to get there. Because isn't God perfect and holy? And how could he possibly have sin in his presence? Especially when he hates it so much.
I don't know.
Conundrum, eh?
Yeah.
What's your first name, young man?
Evie.
Evie.
Yeah.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
We got to do a commercial.
Okay.
All right? And then we'll come back and we'll finish up this little chat. Cool. Fair enough?
Yeah.
You're a gentleman. All righty. Welcome back with Evie. Where did that name come from?
Albania.
Really? Borders on the Adriatic. Do you know how I know that? Mm-hmm. I watch Cheers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did Do you know the geography of Albania? I do, because I studied hard watching Cheers. It's Wretched Radio. I'm sitting on a bench at Georgia Tech with Evie from Albania. It does border on the Adriatic, doesn't it?
It does.
What are the main exports?
I'm not sure.
I know this.
Coal and zinc.
Yeah. All right. What are the main religions in Albania?
It's either Catholicism or Islam, or is Muslim.
Yeah. What's the breakdown, percentage-wise?
It's about 70-30 Catholicism.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What about Christian or Evangelical or Baptist or Methodist, any of those?
I'm not really sure.
Not much? So it's predominantly Catholic.
Yeah.
All right. Is there a lot of tension in that country?
Yeah, always.
Violence?
Yeah.
Based, as best you can tell, is it mostly Muslim, Islamic violence toward the Catholics or Catholics towards the Muslims?
I don't think it's much violence between, religious areas, just between, different geographical areas, in Kosovo, between the Serbs and the Albanians, there's always violence there.
But isn't really there some religious tension involved with those?
Yeah, there's some, just because most of northern Albanians are Islamic.
Right.
So I'm guessing, yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. And you've been living in the country since you were a child, really,
yep.
Right? Right. But you're Roman Catholic and Albanian.
Yep.
Okay. Right before we took a break, Evie, we were talking about our little human conundrum.
Yep.
That if you and I got judged by God, broken the laws, God should send them to hell. And that's a depressing thought.
Yeah.
And there's something about us that really hopes, wow, I hope God is more merciful and loving than that.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
But here's the tension, Evie. Let's just say God is loving. But he's also just. We've now got tension.
Right.
God is loving and merciful, and he'd like to forgive sinners like us. But he's just, so he's got to punish lawbreakers. So he can't turn a blind eye to justice and say, well, I'm just going to let Evie go because I'm a nice God.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay the fine for the crimes that you've committed. Who's paid the fine for the crimes that you've committed?
I don't know. I don't know who does, other than me.
What do you got hanging on your neck?
A cross.
Yeah. What happened on the cross?
Jesus was crucified.
Why?
Because,
who is Jesus?
He's the Son of God.
He's God himself, took on human form, came to this earth, kept every law that you and I have broken. He never lusted, he never lied, he never stole, he never dishonored his parents. He always honored God, he always loved people, always. But then he died on a cross. You know how that went down, don't you?
Yeah.
They arrested him because the people, the Jews, were angry that he was blaspheming by claiming to be God, which he is. And they beat him and then hung him on a cross. To die naked, bloody, bruised. You couldn't even tell he looked like a human being. God did that to pay the punishment, the crime, the fine for your sins. That's what was happening on the cross. That's why so many people wear that thing around your neck. Because it symbolizes that God died for you, a sinner. So that the wrath of God could be satisfied. And so that God could demonstrate his kindness and his love to you, a sinner. You've broken God's laws, and Jesus paid your fine. God can have you in his kingdom. He can save you and bring you in based on the merits of Jesus. You can be forgiven for everything you've ever done, not on your own merits, but on the merits of Jesus. And not only that, not only will you be found not guilty, but you'll be seen as righteous because Jesus did everything that you failed to do. He not only took the punishment, but he lived a perfect life on your behalf so that you could be made the righteousness of God. Adopted as his child, no longer at war with God, no longer an enemy of God, a child of God with all the heirs of sonship, adopted into his family because of the God-man who died on that cross. That's what Christianity teaches. There's good news for the sinner. You can't earn your way. You can't do enough to get there. All you've done is blown it. All you've done is sin. And if you think that you've been good enough to appease God, you've compounded your sinfulness because that's pride and self-righteousness, and it's not an honest assessment of ourself. We have to come clean with God and do what the Bible says, humble ourselves before his hand like a little child, doesn't try to make excuses for having his hand in the cookie jar, just confesses his sin, apologizes, genuinely apologizes, and turns from sins. This isn't confessing sins to a man in a box. This is getting on your face before a holy God and saying, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible says, if you will do that, Evie, if you'll repent and put your trust in Jesus, God says, I'll save you now because of what Jesus did. And he'll see you through his righteous deeds and his death on the cross so that he can be glorified for being such a good God. So there we have justice figured out. We have love figured out and mercy figured out, harmonized perfectly in that cross around your neck.
Wow.
That's what the Bible teaches. So now, this is the biggie, and this is between you and God, because I can't judge your heart.
Right.
You could be tolerating me right now for all I know. The Bible says you've got to repent. Say you're sorry. Agree with God. Lose any thought that you've done good, because you haven't. Either God's right on this or you are. And say, I'm sorry for all of your sins. You don't have to catalog every single sin that you've ever done.
Right.
God's looking for a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a childlike faith. Anybody who brags, God is going to send away. But anybody who acts like a child and humbles himself, he loves that attitude. And if you'll do that, if you'll say you're sorry and turn from your sins, it doesn't mean you become perfect, but you have a new attitude about them. I hate those things. I hate them because those are the things that put Jesus on that cross. And you throw yourself at his mercy and you put your trust in Jesus. In other words, you submit your will to him. You agree with him. It's all true. And God says if you'll repent and trust, he will make you, he will save you. He'll make you his child. It's called being born again in the Bible. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I don't know if you've done that or not. You know, God knows. If you've humbled yourself before his mighty hand and he's made you his child, and you know for a fact you're not at war with God anymore, you've been reconciled by Jesus. Only you know that. So, dude, I would ask you, please, if you have not done that, I'm going to walk away now, and between you and God, please consider with if what I'm saying to you is true, if it's biblical. I'm not here representing a church. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says by grace you can be saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. Because if you can do works to get to heaven, then you're going to tell everybody in heaven how good you were. And God is going to be able to tell everybody how good he is by dying for you, a sinner. So only you know if you've been born again or not. Please think about it and know this, that if you will humble yourself, he promises he will not cast you out. He promises. And you will know your conscience will be cleansed, your sins will be forgiven, you'll be in a right relationship with God. It doesn't mean you don't study to be a biochemical engineer, whatever it is that you're doing here. But the center of your life now is Jesus. And you'll live your life for him, and it'll all be ordered right, and you'll grow in holiness. Not to perfection, but when you die, he'll take you to his kingdom because of Jesus' perfection. And it's a promise. You've got God's word on it.
Wow.
There you go. So what do you need to do to be saved?
You need to be humbled by it. Just, hey, I'm sorry with the right heart.
Yep. Yep. You don't need to go talk to anybody. You talk to God. You don't need to talk to me. You talk to God. So I'm just begging you as you sit underneath this tree, and he made you for his glory. He made you so that you could be saved. So all I can do is ask you to ponder today. You've got a Bible, right?
Yeah.
All right. Read it, see if what I'm saying is true. Don't trust me. Trust the word. It's the word of life. Okay.
Oh.
All right. I'll be praying for you as I walk around
Thank
here
you.
Today. All right, Evie. Thanks for the chat, huh?
No problem.
All right. See you, young man. It's Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech. What's going on with Evie? I can tell you what I see or saw, but I can't tell you what's going on with Evie. I have no idea. He has tears in his eye. He's somber. Wow, was the response. It could be an emotion. It could be heartburn. It could be the Holy Spirit of God convicting him of his sin, of righteousness, and the judgment to come. I don't know. And so if you've just tuned into this program and you're a Christian and maybe in the past you've heard people lead somebody into prayer, we don't do that. And the reason is, first of all, the Bible doesn't say to do it. It doesn't mean that somebody doesn't have to call out to God to be saved, but it doesn't say that we need to lead them in that. And furthermore, I don't know what's going on in Evie's heart. I don't know. And even if right now Evie is feeling some guilt, or he's hearing this story and he's thinking, that's amazing good news, it could be quick emotionalism. Do you remember the parable that Jesus said is the one that you must understand, or you won't understand any of them? Do you remember which one? The parable of the four soils. Evie We don't know. Evie could be one that I could have led into a prayer, and maybe he would have sprung up really quick and been very excited about Christian things. And then a year goes by, 2 years goes by, or even a week goes by, and Evie is nowhere to be found. Why? Because in Israel, right underneath the dirt, usually, there would be rock, bedrock, but it would be hard. And so typically what would happen is that if you would plant something, the seed that hit the dirt that had the rock underneath it, the root would go down, bang, hit the rock. What does it do? It shoots up out of the ground before it's established its root system. And that's exactly what Jesus was warning against. There are those who are stony ground hearers. And so we don't lead people in prayers. Here at Wretched Radio, we let God lead them. And that is far better. And that way we don't grant them assurance that doesn't exist. That way God can grant them assurance, because he's the one who's granting them repentance and faith. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.